Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone on this Advent Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent that we're celebrating today, and wish you a happy new year according to the church calendar as well today, because we celebrate a new year of hope, expectation, blessing, and forgiveness from our Lord Jesus. We're blessed to be gathered together this morning in His name, and blessed to be sitting in a sanctuary that's got new pews or new cushions on the pews, new carpet on the floor and on the altar. Truly the Lord has blessed us graciously. We give Him thanks and praise for His provision. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we welcome you to our service and wish the Lord's blessings on you as you take part in our service of the Word this morning. If you're gathered in the sanctuary today, we invite the congregation to please stand for our opening hymn. That's hymn number 335, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice. And if you turn and face the cross as well, we'll be processing in for our service this morning. So let's sing together hymn 335. begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, alive in our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We continue with our intro this morning from Psalm 25 and Zechariah chapter 9. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. We continue with our Kyrie spoken together this morning. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection, we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in the 64th chapter. We begin with our reading this morning in verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him joyfully, works of righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, Please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Psalm chapter 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, before Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you were out this last week on Wednesday night, this was also the text for our first midweek service as well. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time, we join together in confessing our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our hymn of the day for this first Sunday in Advent is hymn number 332, Savior of the Nations, Come. Our Lord's words this morning, and what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Please be seated. We all have a memory at one point in our lives of a time when it was hard for us to wake up. Maybe for you it was this morning. If you're an alarm clock setter, then you know the routine, right? Now it's mostly on cell phones that alarms are set, but there's still, even on the cell phone, a snooze button. Some folks, they hear their alarm and they pop right up out of bed and they're ready to go for the day and getting their routine going and things done, but other folks have a snooze button addiction. Some people even set multiple alarms, knowing they're going to snooze and snooze and snooze, or set their alarm for half an hour, 45 minutes, up to an hour before they know they plan to get out of bed as they go through their snoozing routine. We all know what it's like to be sleepy, especially in those wee hours of the morning when you finally get into that really nice sleep. And this is an interesting sermon to preach when the cushions are brand new, isn't it? We get it. But our Lord's message today, he says, stay awake. Stay awake. And he's not talking necessarily about our nightly slumber or our early morning snoozing. But he's talking about much more than that. Our Lord Jesus, when he tells us today up to four times at the end of our reading, if you caught it, keep awake, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. What does he want us to be awake to? What are we sleeping to that our Lord would say this to us? That he would come and rouse us and say, keep awake when we're starting to lull off, starting to drowse off. What are we drowsing off to? What is he talking about when he says these things? The season of Advent is about expectation of the coming of Jesus. And first and foremost, we think about the coming of Jesus at Christmas time in the Nativity of Bethlehem. And as this season leads, as we know, into the Christmas celebration. But the season of Advent has a dual purpose, or a dual meaning in this sense, as that it doesn't just point to Jesus coming at Christmas, which it does, but it also points to our Lord's second coming. Hence our gospel reading this morning that we heard that was quite, apocalyptic. Apocalyptic in the sense that it's revealing things. That's what the apocalypse means, is to reveal. It's revealing the end of the world. He's telling us about it. And it's his way of rousing us. You know, giving that little shake, right? That you go in to wake somebody up. Hey, wake up. Our text is doing that for us this morning. For each of us. Rousing us. Keeping us awake. Jesus says in verse 24, in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling down from the heavens and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Now tell me, is this a text that we hear and it brings a bit of fear? Can you imagine? And I think we should talk about it. Can you imagine what it will be like the day that the sun ceases to shine? The day that the moon goes out like someone hit the switch and turned off the lights? What will that day be like at the coming of our Lord Jesus? When the powers in the heavens will be shaken and the stars will start to fall from the skies, what will that day be like? This is the part that I think he's trying to use to wake us up. Rouse us, shake us a little. Come on, stay awake, friends. The day approaches, and like Jesus said, we don't know when. No one knows. only the Father. But the other striking point of verse 24 here in our reading, if you want to look at it with me, is you'll see a word that is common in apocalyptic literature, especially biblical literature of the apocalypse, and that's the word tribulation. Notice what Jesus says. He says, in those days after that tribulation. Now, tribulation is a word in Greek that's pronounced kind of weird. It's a TH sound and then an L. So if you transliterate it in English, it's spelled T-H-L. And you kind of have to do this with your tongue on your lips. It's thlipsis. Thlipsis is the word translated to tribulation in English. Thlipsis, according to the Greek lexicon, is defined as direct trouble, affliction, distress, or persecution. So Jesus is telling us, after that thlipsis, after that direct trouble, then these things are going to take place. Now, there's a very popular view in the Christian world, inside of Christendom, as some call it, that the tribulation, that the thlipsis, isn't going on right now. Very popular view, by the way. That the tribulation is something only to come in the future. This same view posits the notion that Jesus will arrive secretly, silently, and take the best Christians up into the heavens before the thlipsis or the tribulation takes place. You may have heard of this view. This view is called the silent rapture of the church. Within this concept, you know, the people that are good enough get removed from the tribulation. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker. They're kind of old. I think there might still be some around on some cars. It says, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned, is the one that I've seen. This idea that there's going to be something take place where Jesus comes and rescues people out before the tribulation, and they're going to be safe with him. The funny thing is Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And this is from the book where most of these views are based on. But verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. If every eye is going to see him, and his second coming that we're now looking forward to in this season of Advent, how then will there be a silent taking of the church that only a few people know about? It's an erroneous teaching that is unbiblical. This was made popular by fiction novels, 20 years, 25 years ago or so. Movies based on those novels. But it stands in stark contrast to the scriptures. It's in Acts chapter 2, where Peter is explaining the events that take place at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes down in flames of fire right on their heads. And at that experience, people are wondering, what's going on? What's happening? Some people, if you remember the text, say, suppose that they're drunk. And Peter has to say, no, they're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. How does Peter explain that? Do you remember? He says these words to the people in his explanation. He says, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days it shall be, declares the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So Peter's description of Acts chapter 2, this is year 33 AD, when they see Pentecost take place before their very eyes, he says, this is what Joel the prophet said in these last days. Peter's calling AD 33 the last days. This is what marks the beginning of the great tribulation, friends. Pentecost. Long and short of it, we're living in the great tribulation right now. This is the problem with these other erroneous views. They teach a lie. That the tribulation is only something to come upon the earth, not something that has already come. Not something that we're living in right now as we speak. That seems to be the way the scripture understands it. You're living in the tribulation, whether you know it or not, and so am I. But so many will say, hey, Pastor, look, man, I got a house. It's warm. I got food on my table. Got good clothes. Got a car to drive. Got lots of amazing things. It doesn't really feel like the great tribulation to me, Pastor. You okay? I'm doing all right. You doing okay, bud? Doesn't feel like it. I suggest this morning, because I think this is the scripture and its view, we're missing the forest for the trees. We're missing it. We look with our eyes of flesh, and so we miss the things of the Spirit of God. I want to share with you some statistics that you might be already familiar with. I think we've mentioned them before, although it's been some time. World War II, the Holocaust, 6 million Jews murdered. But did you know that in our country, that this giant machine has taken the lives of that many people since 2008. Almost 1 million people a year murdered by the term we call abortion. Murdered. We've grown accustomed to it. It's like we don't even think about it that much. What's really going on in these dark, insidious ways? Is there forgiveness for those things? Of course there is. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying look at the reality of what's happening constantly around us. Literally over 900,000 deaths a year. Roe v. Wade gets overturned, right? And it drops about 5%. As a result so far. You wonder, do you know somebody with an illness? Many of us do, with cancer. Many of us do, some of us might even have cancer, and we don't even know it, or we know it. And we cry out to God and we say, God, why don't you heal me from this? At least it's possible. At least go with me down this line that he sent people to cure that disease, created them, gave them life. And guess what, friends? They never saw the light of day. They came to help, to save with God's blessing, and they didn't even get to take a breath. Sounds like tribulation to me. Even right now, within our great country, so many, even in leadership, have become religious extremists. They have a view that often gets referred to as the climate agenda. Fundamentally, worship of nature is what it is. There's a religious word for it. It's called pantheism. It's where they look at the earth as though it's eternal and it will go on forever unless we, by our terrible ways, destroy it. They think they can control the weather. Do you know who else thought that? The Norsemen and their Norse god named Thor, who controlled the weather. That's what some are trying to do. I'm sorry, friends, but God controls the weather. He creates the earth and he sustains the earth. Psalm 135, verse 7. He it is, he who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth wind from its storehouses. That's the Bible that says that. It's true what the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote in Romans, they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who's blessed forever and ever. Amen. Decisions are being made every day and they're not based on God's word or clean Christian morality, but on perseverance of nature. Pantheonists that worship the earth with their rules and their money. And has this caused us any direct suffering, any flipsis? You better believe it. Go in the grocery store right now. It's double what it was 3 years ago. And that's one of the smallest things to worry about. Did you know also that if you speak out against this or any debauchery that's publicly accepted these days in our culture, that it makes you a bigot to many? That if you say homosexuality is a sin against God, or that transgenderism is a sick perversion of what God teaches plainly in the Bible, that you're labeled a hater? In the country just north of us, you'll be put in prison? If you speak out against pantheonism, as we just described it, the worship of the earth, that you're now a domestic terrorist? That's how a growing number of people are seeing your conservative Christian viewpoints. Oh, but it's not the tribulation. No, that's to come. I could keep going for a really, really long time. And you're like, wow, you've gone a long time already, bud. It's so sad what's happening. Every single channel is tempting us to covetousness. Everywhere we look, we see things that should make us blush. But we're getting used to this kind of garbage. Just bear with me for just a moment here. Let's just talk about the Ten Commandments in regards to this. Abortion breaks the fifth commandment. Our marketing breaks the ninth and tenth commandment. Transgenderism and homosexuality break the sixth commandment. I won't even go towards the epic pandemic of divorce. How about the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother. You know, proponents of the tribulation are literally doing their best through university education and false ideology to demolish any ideas of the nuclear family, mom, dad, and kiddos. They think that's the problem with our world. And what about the second commandment? Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Wow, just wow. Because you've got most mainline denominational churches going out into the public arena in the name of God, and they're baptizing all this garbage and putting it up in their pulpits, and it's like it's not even wrong. They're using the name of God in vain, for he spoke against sin and called it what it was. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the third commandment? I think we only have to say one word. Sports. It couldn't be more of a tribulation, friends. But when we only look with our physical eyes, we miss what's really going on. But the Lord rouses us and shakes us with his word and says, open your eyes of faith and see the total and absolute assault on what you believe going on all around you. It's not the tribulation yet. Oh, yes, it is. It very much is. That's what our Lord is telling us. The point of his words, look at the fig tree, he says. That's what we're doing this morning. it'll give you and show you what season it is. And we've only touched the tip of the iceberg. So what does he say? What does he do? Four times at the end of the reading, he says, stay awake. Stay awake to what? I think now we can see it. Stay awake to what's going on all around us. Stay awake to the fact that we're in the tribulation, even though it's easy to forget and pretend like we're not. But more importantly, stay awake to what Christ has given to you. Because it is true that he'll protect us and keep us safe from the great tribulation. But not with some secret, weird first coming of Jesus. But in fact, more like he says in John 17 in the high priestly prayer to the Father. He says there, I do not ask you, Father, this is his prayer, to take them out of the world, but that you might protect them from the evil one. See, this is why he's rousing you and waking you up, to protect us and to keep us awake by his word of forgiveness, to bring us back always when we sin and fall short of the glory of God to his word and forgiveness, to his bread and wine, his own body and blood, by which he keeps us awake to the truth of his love in the world. And he sends us out to go out and share this message with others, to bring to them the forgiveness of sins, the truth of the gospel, the fact that our God, even though it might seem when we look at it that way, like the world is falling apart, it's not. He's in control of all of it. And he's constantly reminding us of his truth, of what's right and what's wrong. And friends, this tribulation is at work to change that view inside of you and me, of what's right and what's wrong, of what's okay and what we should be tolerant of. It's working to change that. And we fall at our Lord's feet and we ask for forgiveness because he tells us what's right and wrong. And it's clear and it's easy to understand. And this is his way of protecting us. This is how he's at work, holding on to us, keeping us from the evil one. So we might be scared of the great tribulation coming one day. We're afraid that we'll feel fear and that our bodies will feel pain or our living conditions won't be like we want them to be. So people are storing up food in the pantry and making provisions and waiting for the day that the tribulation finally comes. Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but those who can send, the one who can send the body and the soul both into hell. There's some crazy notions about the end of time out there. But the Bible's letting us know we're in it. The scriptures shake us and wake us, so we see with eyes of faith that our Lord is at the very gates. But his promise to you is that when he baptized you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that he would keep you awake, that he would lead you in forgiveness, and that the day when he does show up in those clouds, that he'll look at you, his dear servant, wide awake, ready for his return, kept bright-eyed and bushy-tailed by his word and sacrament, aware of what's going on, and he'll say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. See, because Jesus did not die for our worldly comforts. He died for our faith, for our salvation, for our forgiveness. And he blesses us each day with so much more than that. Even things on the level of worldly comforts. But he also blesses us with his protection. Sanctify them in your truth, he says. Your word is truth. This is the blessing he gives us today. And he will show up again in his cross and his resurrection. Will hold us strong until that day through this tribulation. And one day when he comes again and brings us all to himself, that will happen. But certainly every eye will see and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Friends, rest in Christ. Rest in his promise. Rest in his forgiveness. But at the same time, stay awake. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we come to the time in our service where we join together in the prayer of the church for today. Our response for our prayers this morning is, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, sustain your saints to the end as we enter another church year. Encourage the preachers of your word and all who hear that the testimony about Christ may be confirmed among us as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, give boldness and faithfulness, Lord, to Matthew, our synodical president, to James, our district president, to Dan, our circuit visitor, and to all pastors and teachers in Christ. Lord, renew the faith of all your dear lambs. Quicken the love of all of us as Christians, that we may be enriched, as you said, in all speech and knowledge. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant your blessing to all marriages and keep all husbands and wives faithful to each other. Guide them as they care for the children entrusted to them. Bestow your loving care upon all children who've suffered any abuse or neglect, as well as upon all who open their homes to children in foster care and adoption. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, behold our nation and its leaders, and protect our armed forces. Take them under your care and blessing. Lord, straighten out those who stray from the truth of your word. Bless them, Lord, with wisdom, with your wisdom from the heavens, that all might repent and turn to you and rule and lead and serve according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, visit us in your compassion, O Lord. Deliver the sick from their infirmity, the troubled from their affliction, the grieving from their sorrow, and the dying from fear. Lord, especially we name before you this morning from the altar, Mike Kirk, Reverend Mike Lastly, Jim and Linda Holman, Lee and Mary Connor, Gabe Jardin, Alice, Kevin Rice, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, may all who cry to you receive grace according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Merciful Lord, your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, entered Jerusalem to shouts of joy and cheers with jubilation. Grant that we may be stirred by the word and sacraments to rejoice anew, now and at his second coming. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Gracious Father, you have made us glad to enter into your presence, to hear the good news of your protection and love through the truth of your word, and to receive your gifts. Preserve your church against all her enemies, and lead us to walk in your ways and to follow your paths, that when Jesus returns in his glory, we may welcome him with glad hosannas. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the point in our service this morning where we have an opportunity to give back to the Lord a portion of the things that he's blessed us with in our time of tithes and offerings. And during our offering this morning, while it's collected and presented, we have our TLC singers singing the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings and his continued protection in the peace and truth of his word. If you're gathered with us here in the sanctuary of this morning, we will plan to receive Holy Communion today at the front of the altar. So we'll continue with the line that you come down the center, receive the sacrament, and then return to your pews down the outside aisles on each side. Until we get our railing repaired and then reinstalled up on our altar, which should happen sometime this month, we hope. If you're gathered here with us this morning, we invite you to please stand and turn to page 9 in your bulletin, and we'll begin our service of the Holy Sacrament with the preface there on page 9. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings that you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.